Ezra chapter number 8, verse 21. Look, just before you read, look, let me just say this for a minute. At this point in time, Ezra was the scribe of God, but also he was the leader of Israel in the repairing of the temple, the building again of the temple. The temple was being constructed, and it was stopped for several years. Then it was restarted, and when it was restarted, with a special commission from the king. The king had said, he told Ezra and the other leaders, he said, anything you need, he said, we'll get it for you. He even said at one time, he said, the people don't give, he said, if the people don't help you, he said, we'll imprison them. He said, we'll lock them up. He said, whatever you need, you got it. And so Ezra was, he had the backing of the king. This heathen king was set to give him anything he needed. And in Ezra chapter number 8, verse 21, I want you to notice two incredible verses that have to do with our relationship with this world as Christians. The Bible says in verse 21, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of Him a right way for us. Amen. Notice that. These are great scriptures. You ought to mark these scriptures and get to know them. Yeah. And for our little ones. Yeah. And for our substance. Did you know what he said? Go back just for a minute. He said, we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of Him a right way for us. And for our little ones. And for our substance. There's a right way for us. There's a right way for our little ones.
That's right.
And there's a right way for our substance, the things that we have. Yeah. Everything that we have, God blesses us. Is that true? You said, Rich, I worked hard for that. You might have worked hard, but God gave it to you. Amen.
Right.
Everything we have, God gives us. All of our substance, our homes, our lands, our clothes, our food that we eat, every bit of it comes from God.
Right.
So, Grace, if you believe God to pray before you eat, I sure do. Amen.
Amen.
And it wouldn't hurt us to pray while we eat. Amen.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't hurt to pray after you eat. And hey, listen, hey, everything you have, you thank God for. I was mowing some grass today, and my lawnmower got stuck I pulled it this way, pushed it, and finally I raised it up, pulled it out of there, and I looked, and there was a little piece of metal sticking up. First thing I did, I didn't cuss. I said, thank you, Lord, and I didn't hit that thing with my blade. And I think the Lord somehow would have hung my lawnmower up so I wouldn't hit it.
Yeah.
I mean that. I'm not joking. I mean that. I thank God. Hey, listen. Hey, God saved me having to work on a lawnmower. Amen?
Yeah.
Everything that we have is our substances of God. Every breath we breathe is from God.
Yeah.
Every meal we eat is from God. Every bit of the money we have or don't have, it's all from God. Amen?
That's right.
Everything is from God. And listen, he said we ought to afflict ourselves and pray and seek God for us and for our little ones.
Mm-hmm.
Man, how important that is. That goes without even saying. Amen.
Right.
You say, who are your little ones? Well, some of you, your little ones are my little ones are little ones. But some of you, your little ones are 20 years old, but they're still your little ones. Some of you, your little ones are 40 or 50 or 60 years old, but they're still your little ones. Amen? And you still pray for them. You still care about them. You still desire them. Well, listen, there's a God in heaven that is able to help us. There's a God in heaven that's able to help our little ones.
Yeah.
There's a God in heaven that wants us to seek Him as to what we do with our substance because it's from Him. Amen?
Right.
Now notice verse 22. You think that verse is good. Verse 22 says, for I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek Him. But His power and His wrath is against all them that forsake Him. They said, Ezra said, we opened our mouth. He said, I told the king. He said, we got a God that is going to bless us. He said, I got a God in heaven that is good to those that honor Him. He said, I got a God in heaven that's against those that don't honor Him. There's no in between, amen.
Right.
I'm glad there's no gray area with God. It's either honor off. And God, and Ezra said, we told you that if we honor God, God will bless. And if we don't, God will deal with us. And we're going to honor God. And we believe God will take care of us. God's hand will be with us.
Amen.
That's an important thing to think about tonight, is the hand of God being with you.
Yeah.
Well, it's important to tonight. Listen, I'm going to heaven. That's all settled. That's all settled on Calvary. I'm glad for that. But brother, listen, I'm not in heaven yet. I'm still living in this whole world down here. And while I'm here, when I get to heaven, I'm going to rejoice and shout and have a good time. But while I'm down here, I want God's hand on my life down here. Amen. I want His hand on my substance. Amen. I want His hand on my little ones. I want His hand on everything in my life.
Right.
Amen. We need to be true to God and desire the hand of God on all that we do. The Bible says in verse number 23, says, so we fasted and besought our God for this, and He was entreated for us. Isn't that good? Amen.
Amen.
I want to tell you tonight, this first of all, I want you to know there was a place. There was a place. Take your Bible and circle there. I proclaimed a fast there. And then he says, at the river of Ahava. Where? There. Where? At the river of Ahava.
There's a place.
There's a place. Brother, listen. There needs to be a place in our life where we see the necessity. There needs to be a place where we just stop. And I mean a literal, physical place where we just stop everything and say, right here or right there is the place, and I'm not going to go another step further until I seek the Lord, until I know that God's hand is upon me.
Amen.
There will be the place where either I'll stop and I'll never take another step. There will be the place where I seek the Lord and the Lord's hand will be upon me. I'm not going past there until I know God's with me.
That's right.
I love the story in the Old Testament of Moses. Moses was called of God to go, and he hesitated. He wanted to be sure. And he's got to one place, though, and God was angry with the children of Israel. And he said, I'm not going with you, Moses. He said, I'll send my angel. And Moses said, God, I want to see you. And God said, no man's ever seen me and lived. Moses, you can't see me. He said, I want to see you. He said, Moses, he said, stand in the hollow of that rock. He said, I'll pass by you. He said, you can see my hinder parts. He said, you can't see my face. He said, but you can see me. He said, you'll know that there's a place by me. And Moses said, God, I'm not going to go unless you go with us. And he said, I'll send my presence. He said, I'll go. But listen, there's got to be in our lives a there where we look around and say, you know what? Something's not right. Something's not working. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm doing what God wants me to do. But right there's the place where I'm going to get on my face before God and say, God, you guide me. And God, you be with me. And God, you help me. There will be the end of the journey unless God, His hand is up on me and the rest of the way.
Right.
There was a place. There needs to be a place. I tell you, listen, I'll testify just for a minute. That little storefront building up there, I mean, we started the church, it was dying, nothing was going on. But there was a little dungeon at the bottom of it. I mean, worthless, wasn't good for anything. And I started going up there, and you couldn't hear anything in there, and it echoed in there. And it was a good place to yell and carry on. But nobody could hear you. It was like the dungeon. And man, the water would get in there sometimes and that. But I got down there and I prayed and I besought the Lord. And I prayed and I besought the Lord. And there I believe God heard my prayer. And I prayed and said, God, listen, there is a cause. There is, Lord, if you want a church here, God, if you want this place to be here, or if you want those people that passed by and saw us, and Brother Chuck, you remember you were with me, that they looked in and they laugh at us, and they see us in there with the mullins, and they laugh, and they park in front of the bar and go to the bar or the adult bookstore, and they spit their tobacco juice on the front of the church up there, and they throw their filthy stuff out in front from where they sit in their cars and do their vile acts and stuff, and they throw that stuff out in front of there. We have to pick it up, friend. Listen, and they park right in front of the door of the church and sometimes shut it up that close. But listen, hey, thank God for the day whenever we had a revival service where Jeff Owens was preaching there. And when it was packed out, had 120 some people in there. And we ran out of batteries for our microphone. I ran down the lane to get some batteries. And the boyfriend of the fellow that owned the bar around the corner, you can figure that out. His daddy was a Baptist preacher in Mingo County. He was down there at the Rite Aid. And he said, man, what's going on up in the church tonight? I said, wait, we're having revival. He said, everybody keeps walking in saying, what's going on here? He said, I told him, it ain't nothing going on here. There's something going on around there at the church. Amen. That's the way it ought to be. Amen. I'd like to see our churches, our people drive by and say, there's something going on there. Amen.
That's right.
If you ever want there to be a thing like that, there's got to be a there where you stop and say, God, I don't want to go any further unless this place right here becomes a place where we can look back and say, there was a place where God met with us. Mm-hmm. Why ought to be a place like that? Every Christian's life, every Christian life ought to have a place like that.
That's right.
Every one of us, amen?
Yeah.
There was a time, I realize that there was a time. You see, the urgency is not always the same, but as a Christian, and I believe anybody here that's a Christian, there's certain times of urgency. How many of you ever experienced in your Christian life a time of urgency? Whenever you had to get a hold of God.
Right.
So, preacher, it's not always that way, and someone will say, well, don't just pray when you need something. Brother, listen, I think you're better than that. I don't think you just pray when you need something. But there are times of intercession. I mean, there are times of, what's the word I'm looking for? Fervent prayer. There are times whenever something, when you get news about something, or there's something, there's a concern that you have, or there's a problem that you have, and you just fall and you say, God, I've got to have something now, Lord, now. There's got to be a time.
Yeah.
There's got to be a place where you say, God, that's the place. That's going to be it right there, Lord. That'll be it for me. Either you'll help me or I'll die right here, Lord. This will be the place. I think of a story of a preacher one time that was supposed to go out and preach. At 5 minutes of the service coming, he wasn't there. The people began to look around. He was always there. The service started. He still wasn't there. They went back to his office and he was in there praying. And somebody interrupted him. He said, I'll be there whenever I know God's hand is on me. He said, you tell the people they can go away. The people sat for 3 hours. The preacher prayed. He came out and preached with the power of God. And he said, from that day forward, he said, I determined never to go to my pulpit again without the power of God on my life. Boy, we don't have preaching like that today, man. Oh, we got preachers come. They'll run, sit, and do a little sermon off the computer and just jump up there and take a few minutes after they sung for 45 minutes and some little soft sermon. Friend, we need some preachers with the power of God in their life and with the touch of God in their life. And there's a place where they fall on their face before God. There's a time where they sense the urgency of the matter.
That's right.
Well, listen, if we as Christians don't sense that this is the time to pray, I don't know when we're going to do it. I mean, I'm glad for the second coming of Christ, but there's folks that are lost on their way to hell that they need the Holy Ghost of God to convict their hearts. And but listen, I believe Holy Ghost conviction comes from Christians that realize the urgency of salvation, and they begin to pray and seek God when they come to the place and say, God, here's the place I'm going to get a hold of God. I want to pray and seek God.
Amen.
I think about a story about a lady that had a husband that he was abusive, and he cheated on her, and he was just mean to her and awful, as bad as he could be. She said to the preacher, she said, what do I do? He said, you either give up or you pray and God changes him. So she began to pray and fast. She would go out to the barn and pray and fast and seek God and pray and fast. And she would, on Sunday, she would fix the Sunday afternoon dinner and prepare all the food, and all the family would sit down to eat, and they would pray, and she would try to get him to pray most of the time. He wouldn't pray. He wouldn't bow his head. But when they sat down to eat, she'd walk into the other room. And while they were eating the food, she would pray, and every once in a while they'd hear her cry, oh God, save my husband. God, if you don't save him, I'm going to die. God, save him. Went on for months, maybe even a year passed. One day he got a hold of his wife as she went out after the meal. He said, wait a minute. He said, I can't take it anymore. He said, I can't take it anymore. He said, listen, he said, I'll go to church with you tonight. He said, would you eat now? She said, I'll eat. And you get saved. He sat down. He couldn't eat his food that day. The tears in his eyes. He went to church that night. He went to the altar. He asked God to save him. Changed his life. I'm going to tell you, there's a God in heaven that when God sees it, there's a place where we don't want to go any further without him. And God sees that the time is now. There's an urgency in us. God will hear our prayers. Amen.
That's right.
We need to, tonight, to realize there needs to be a place. There needs to be a time. There was a process. They fasted. Well, that's unheard of in our day, I know.
Yeah.
Today, fasting means run to McDonald's or get a fast food meal or something. I'm going to tell you quickly, I'm not going to teach you a lesson on fasting, but I'm going to tell you, the Bible says, they afflicted themselves with fasting. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? To afflict you, it just means to make your flesh weak.
That's right. Sure
means. I'm going to tell you, listen, when you fast, your flesh will hallucinate about food. I mean, your flesh will try to rear up, and your flesh will try to charge and dominate and dictate. There needs to be some time for, listen, hey, too much of our Christianity today is flesh-driven, and so little is spirit-driven, and there's a whole heap of Christians need to afflict their flesh and subject their flesh to a little bit of fasting and say, not only you're not going to tell me when to go to church and when to read my Bible, but you're not going to tell me when to pray and when not to pray. I'm going to, hey, the Spirit of God in me is going to lead this whole show from now on.
Yeah.
You go to fasting, bro, listen, you afflict your flesh a little bit, and you let your flesh know that, hey, you're not in charge.
That's right.
And you pray and say, God, I've got my flesh, I don't want to eat. God, I want to do this, but God, I need you. Personal illustration, I was in Bible college. I'd go off and I'd get up and eat my breakfast or whatever. Man, listen, I couldn't wait for the afternoon meal at 1 o'clock. Couldn't wait. But I also found out that it was hard to pray. There was no time. There's always people around. My window overlooked the thing where they go in to eat. And I realized that while they were eating, my roommates were going. I had 40 minutes there of quiet time. But in order to pray and use that time, I'd have to miss that meal. And I'd watch everybody go over there. My old flesh would say, man, don't just go ahead. Just forget about it. But I take that time and pray. There was a fellow in our class named Dick Pierpont. Mr. Pierpont came to Bible College at 50-some years of age. He'd been a truck driver all of his life. And he was going to have to fall out of classes. He had had a spinal bifida. He had a hole in his spine. It came back. It started to grow. I don't know why God did what he did. But in them prayer meetings afternoon, I began to pray for God to heal that man. You know, I saw him 12 years later. He was still trying to preach and pastor his church and still going for God. While I was there, I said, God, you know, I'm hungry now, but someday I'll have a family, and I don't want them to be hungry then. And I wanted to learn what it was like to pray and trust God and get things from God. And I'm going to tell you, there needs to be a time when we learn to afflict our flesh.
Right, preacher.
Too much flesh in this Christianity today.
That's right.
Fasting, afflicting ourselves, the process of bringing the flesh into submission under subjection. Fasting is a powerful tool to alter the carelessness of our mind. You want to get your mind in tune with God. And I'm not talking about anybody hurting themselves medically. I'm not a doctor. I'm just a preacher tonight. And I'll be a doctor some other day. You know what you can and can't do. But what I'm talking about is Christians tonight. I'm going to make this available. I want the whole church to hear it. But we as Christians need to realize there's an urgency. And whatever we need to do to get our focus and intention on God, we need to do it. Amen. We need to do it. We're too amused. The word ah means no. The word muse is the key to the Christian life. We need to muse. The prophet said, while I was musing, the fire burned. While I was meditating. There's no musing. There's no meditating. Have you ever heard the song, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine? Oh, what about there's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Have you ever heard that before? Well, have you ever heard Blessed Assurance or there's a power in the blood? You know where those songs came from? They came from a generation when there was no television, there was no internet, there was no telephone, there was no cell phone. But the people would read the Word of God and they would walk with God and they would meditate. They would use, the Bible says, blessed the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his heart he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree.
Yeah.
Pray for his fruit this season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. What's that talking about? That word meditate is the word musing, to meditate, to chew on it. Amen. We don't chew on it long enough. We forget about it as quick as we can. But it won't work that way. There was a purpose in his prayer. I said to you real quick, there was a place, there was a time, there was a process, there was a purpose. Brother, listen, there's many purposes. He said we want to pray for us. But he said we want to pray for our little ones. He said, but we want to pray for our substance. But if you'll check the story out, what it really is saying there, he said, we wanted to be true to the will of God. He said, but also, he said, we wanted to glorify God. Boy, how many of you ever, as Christians, look at this old world today and just say, you know what? I just can't wait for Jesus to come by. You ever look at it and just say, I just can't wait? Right. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Now, I'm like you. I'm the same way. But there's something also in me that, and I hate, before he comes, there's something in me that I just want this whole world to see who he is. Amen. He is all powerful. I mean, since I was a wee little boy, you know, about that big, that fella's up on there, them cowboys, Indians was chasing him. That other guy, he told his buddy, he said, buddy, he said, when you see him, he said, when he gets close enough, he said, you shoot him. You shoot him right between the eyes. He said, they're going to kill us if you don't. He come down, he said, how far away is he? He said, I can't tell. He said, he's about that tall. He said, well, he said, he's a good ways off. He said, but he said, whenever he gets all the way up here and you see that full size man and he's close enough, he said, in your love, he said, you fire. He come down. He said, I don't know what to do. He said, what do you mean? He said, he's right here on us. He said, he's on us. He said, why didn't you shoot him? He said, I couldn't. He said, I've known him since he was that little. But listen. Since I was a wee little fella, amen. Since I was a wee little guy, I like that story of Elijah. I remember hearing a preacher preach one time, and he talked about a time in his ministry whenever he wanted to see God work, and he prayed. He said, where is the Lord God of Elijah?
Yeah.
Boy, I said, wouldn't it be something today if some Christian said, you know what? Nothing else matters. The only thing matters is that this generation, my family, my wife, my children, my neighbors, my church, if my family, this whole country, this president, not my, amen, I don't blame him, you can. If this, if the congressmen and senators, if this old, hey, Curtis, you're all right, buddy. Hey, listen, hey, now who wouldn't preach to that boy looking at you? Look here, but listen, what in the world, wouldn't it be wonderful if we just say, you know what, I want this whole world to see there is a God in heaven, amen?
Right.
I mean, I've read about great revivals, and I've read about God doing great things. Wouldn't it be something that God, in these last days, would just once again do something great in our day, amen? I've heard Brother Anderson and others of you talk about a week-long revivals turning into 2-week-long revivals and using the schoolhouse and night after night and hundreds of people being saved. Say, preacher, it won't ever happen in our day. Yet God's still God, and it could happen, amen.
Yeah,
it'd be good if it did happen, wouldn't it? And if God ever could do it, he still could, couldn't he? So who says he wouldn't if we just would seek him? Amen? He could. But listen, number five, there are weaker people for whom the will of God was a necessity. Listen, don't be discouraged when you're in church and you look around and you see folks that are weak. Don't be discouraged when you're trying to do something for God and trying to build the church and trying to do something and it seems like nobody's interested. Don't quit. Just keep on, amen. And pray and seek the Lord and just keep on, brother. Listen, and pray. Listen, there's always going to be weaker saints. There's always going to be weaker brothers. There's always going to be those. But we as Christians that maybe are a little stronger, if we are stronger, we need to worry and be too concerned with their weakness. We need to pray for God to strengthen them.
Right.
But listen, that's part of what our leadership is. God reveals to us the necessity, and they're weak, but we pray for God to strengthen them. Amen?
Amen.
But listen, number six, there was a burden demanding help from the Heavenly Father. The hand of God. How many of you have ever desired the hand of God?
Amen.
I mean, listen, have you ever had a situation where there was no way in the world that you could figure out what to do about it? I'm amazed, and don't misunderstand, but I've had folks have problems come into life and call and say, hey, I need such and such amount of money. I say, why? We've got to get a lawyer. We've got to secure a lawyer to help us and defend us. And first I think, can I help this? What can I do? And then I start to get hurt on the inside. And I think, they didn't even say, would you pray with me?
Yep.
You mean to tell me, don't misunderstand, but you didn't mean to tell me that there anywhere in the city of Charleston, anywhere in the phone book, there's a lawyer that is better able to change the situation than the God of heaven?
No way.
I mean, you get every one of them to together and secure all of them, get them all together, and they can't do one-tenth of what God can do. But we got more confidence than some lawyer. Call somebody, help me. I need some help. Call the doctor. And I'm not against doctors. Amen. Call the surgeon. Won't somebody call God?
Yeah.
Won't the Christians call God? Won't the people of God call God? Say, preacher, I got somebody close. I don't know what to do. Hey, God will save them if we just get a hold of God.
Amen.
But there's got to be a place. There's got to be a time where that urgency sets in. And then it's, God, I don't want to go any further. God, this is the place. This is the time. God, we need you. They need you. God, we can't go any further. God, we need your hand for our life. Amen. Well, we need that. Amen. There's a burden demanding help from the Heavenly Father. There's times you're going to feel more burden than other times. That's, you say, preacher, I don't always feel a burden to pray. That's, you may not, but there's going to be times you're going to feel a burden. And God's going to put those times in your life. And when that time comes, you ought to pray. Because, friend, listen, God allows those times so that he can do what? He can prove himself. Ezra said, I could ask the king. And the king would have given him everything he had to offer. But he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't ask. I read the story once. I wish I had the verse for you. I should have written it down. I read it. P.T. Barnum. Barnum and Bailey Circus. Charles Haddon Spurgeon had a great church in London, England. London Tabernacle, he was a great speaker. People came from everywhere. It drew a great crowd. Sometimes 5,000 people would come. They had to turn people away from Spurgeon in London, England, 1850s. The people would come to hear him preach. P.T. Barnum wrote him a letter and said, I would like for you to take some time and travel with us and speak for us, with us, in conjunction with our circus. He said, you can say whatever you want. He said, we'll pay for the meetings. Mr. Spurgeon wrote back to him and he gave him a verse. I wish I had it. It was funny, the verse he gave him. But he said, thank you kindly for the invitation. Then he gave him a verse that ripped his face off. He just wanted to let him know. He said, I'm not going to bring God down to your level. He said, I'm not going to join the gospel with the circus. Now today, brother, the churches today would say, yippee-yay, line me up and tell me how much I won't get for it. Amen. You say, well, I bet that hurts Spurgeon's ministry. He's supposed to bet, but if you want to go ahead and do it anyway, I bet you it didn't. Amen?
That's right.
Amen. Hey, brothers and God said not to be entangled with this old world. Amen? Today, friend, we got preachers trying to do everything in the world with God the world way. What's that proving to the young people? Why don't we pray? We got camp, summer church camp. So you say, I can't do a single solitary thing in that camp, and I just hear that announcement. Don't mean you can pray, friend. You can pray, friend. Listen, those little boys and girls, they need God to touch their hearts. Some of them are headed for a life of drugs and destruction and violin and wickedness, friend. But what some church camp, friend, make a difference in their life.
Hey,
amen.
Right.
My wife got saved at church camp. I guess it's still good. Amen. I check her out every once in a while. She's still got it. She takes me out more, though. Amen. See if it's still holding up. But, hey, listen. That's important, friend. Listen, it's all, hey, we need you to pray. These few years we were preaching at the nursing home, and the people sat in there, same crowd, you know, they never went anywhere. And you couldn't preach on a whole lot of sin, so it's kind of limited to what the folks in the nursing home do, you know. And what I'd say, I mean, you could just say, don't have any fun, you know, don't ever smile or anything. I mean, but I'd preach, and the thing I tried, 4 times out of 5, I tried to encourage them. I tried to encourage them. I'd say, would you pray? You can pray. God hears your prayers. Pray. If you got nothing else to pray, pray for me. Amen. I appreciate your prayers. I believe God wants to answer our prayers. Amen. And God can do great things.
Amen.
But we've got to come to that dare and that time and that urgency where we seek the Lord. Listen, God's able. Amen. God can move hearts and touch hearts of people to do things, and it's God that does it. Amen. It's God that does it. God's able to do it. Amen.
Right.
there was a burden demanding help from the Heavenly Father, the hand of God. Listen, number seven, I like this one. There was indeed, without doubt, an answer from the Almighty.
Yes, there was.
He said, we entreated the Lord. He said, we pray, we besought our God for this. And He was entreated of us. Wouldn't it be something to see some answered prayer? Wouldn't it be something to see some of these names up here that maybe never met the Lord? Wouldn't it be something to see them start getting saved?
Amen.
Well, listen. We're too accustomed to folks not coming to Christ. Amen. I believe God can save the lost.
Amen.
I really believe God is looking for us to go pray for Holy Ghost conviction once again. We're too casual about things. God can change the unchangeable situation. But there's got to be a time, there's got to be a there where we stop and say, God, here, right here is the place. God, I don't want to go any further than right here until you do something to change this situation. Well, we need that. Yeah. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for loving us. Thank you for your blessings, God, for your grace.